Blog Talk Radio.
Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you.
Next case, prove the real presence of Jesus in the consecrated host. Dr. Gregory Thompson takes that case Monday nights at 9 Eastern Time on the Catholic Defender radio network. He has studied hundreds of Eucharistic miracles around the world, which prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the real presence is, in fact, real. Join the Super Sleuth Monday nights at 9 by calling 646-595-2071. That's 646-595-2071 for the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is Dr. Gregory Thompson, an expert on many of the Eucharistic miracles proving the real presence of Jesus in the consecrated host. Tonight, Dr. Thompson will lead an in-depth examination of one of these Eucharistic miracles. Here now is Dr. Thompson.
Good evening. All around the world, men and women of God, and thank you for being here tonight. And just a couple things I want to clean up a little bit as we get into our Eucharistic miracle tonight. And that is, I know that we're not too far away from October when they're talking about the synods, you know. And before we get into that, I want to first thank Brother Donald for making this possible with our Eucharistic miracles. And we've been doing this now for many years and probably going through it a second or third time for some people. If they stayed, not knowing when they come in or leave. But these Eucharistic miracles can cause conversions and reversions to the faith. Watch them, listen to them, read them, send them to those you love, and help the good Lord bring souls to him. That's one way that you can glorify our Lord. And do it through the sorrowful, immaculate heart of Mary, and it'll show a veneration of Mary, which pleases the Holy God very much when we go through Mary. So we have some attacks, and don't want to say anything about that. Almost went into it again without saying hello to Don from the South. Doc, how are you doing?
Well, Greg, I like what you're bringing up about October, and I was at the Knights of Columbus meeting last night, and that's why.
Did you acknowledge Michael and Doc?
We got Michael on with us from New Jersey, and Doc from Tennessee. And so I'll be bringing them on here in just a moment or two. I will definitely be bringing them on here, as well as Dr. Gregory Thompson from Missouri. So we got Kansas, Missouri, Tennessee, and New Jersey representative here with us tonight. And plus all of those out there in deeper tooth land out there, all over the world. And so that is exciting.
So was that brought up a little bit at your nice meeting last night, Donald?
Well, I brought this up about, in fact, I spoke about October the 13th. We're going to be doing and preparing, we're preparing to be praying the rosary at the courthouse in Olathe, Kansas. We will be doing a rally, our rally here. I'm a team captain, and we'll be focusing on the rosary, praying for America, and praying the rosary for families. And that is so cool. And so the Knights of Columbus is all in on this. And so there should be about 20,000 rallies like there were last year throughout the country, representing nearly 1 million Catholics all throughout the country, praying the rosary for our families, for families, for the church, and for America. And so that's huge on October the 13th. And Greg, can you tell me why that America Needs Fatima utilizes October the 13th at 12 o'clock noon, why that is important for these rallies throughout America, throughout America?
It's a key to the miracle that happened at Fatima on October 13th, 1917, the last of six visions from the that Mary appeared to the little children of Fatima. And in that appearance on October 13th, there was somewhere between 70 and 100,000 people that were impacted that day that saw the miracle. And because of what happened, the miraculous happening that day, there was conversion to the Catholic faith and reversions from those that had drifted away. So, and many, many healings in spirit, mind, and body for sure. So that's the significance there. And if you're ready, you'll follow what I was going to talk about on October coming up, that is anti-Catholic, against the Catholic Church, that is schismatic. What they're doing in the synods, you know, some of our powerful holy bishops and cardinals have been talking about that. Cardinal Burke, Bishop Strickland,
yeah.
Bishop Bigelow, Schneider.
Yeah.
Your heavy hitters have really been talking about it. I hope that all of them, like your bishop over there in Kansas, I hope he's really telling people to watch out, stay the course, and stay true to the deposit of faith, because you have so many schismatics in the church that are trying to change the deposit of faith and tweak it to their own likes and stuff instead of keeping it like Jesus said. And we have to be careful and watch closely at that and be aware of it, and don't let anybody cause you to step out of the church, because it's the one vessel that will get you to heaven for eternity. So, but there's a lot of evil in the hierarchy of our church right now, and trying to manipulate the minds of Catholics, and have caused a lot to fall away, and what they're planning for this synod could cause even more to fall away. So we need to have that as part of our rosary prayers for sure. That
Amen
nothing
to that.
Changes, because the deposit of faith is immutable from centuries of magisterial and pronouncements from the deposit of faith coming from Jesus Christ himself. And so we can't change it. We can't change what a marriage is between one man and one woman. We can't change that. You know, we can't say it's okay that you can make your body cut off pieces and become the opposite sex of what you are. You can't. Homosexual is not, thing for them to do is be chaste and in prayer until they die. If that's the cross they bear, it's the most may carry a cross, you know. But the good Lord will give us strength to get through everything that comes our way. So we just have to be very careful for what you might hear coming out of these synods. They started this, and it's not accidental. There's agendas behind it, and it's not in a positive way towards the goodness of the Catholic Church.
Agreed. And today, I went to go get some things for my wife at the grocery store this morning. And while I was there at the grocery store, I ran into two people who had both been...
Did you apologize to them after you ran into them?
Actually, they thought I was an angel. Oh my goodness, yes, because I started talking to them about the Catholic faith, and both of these people had not been practicing the Catholic faith. And after I talked with them for about 3 minutes each, they weren't together, but they both felt like that. The reason why they were there was to meet me. Now, that was amazing because I was bringing them back to the Catholic faith. And so that's what we do here at Deeper Truth. That's the kind of work we do here at Deeper Truth. Oh, man, and I thought I had to give that that's a positive report. And so I felt like when I was leaving, those two ladies might have been the reason why I got there, actually. I got to thinking about that. Partially.
What's the statement you've heard me say a couple thousand times?
Yeah.
There are no accidents.
There is not.
Those things are
Do you know what a coincidence is, Greg?
Well, I know it's there's no accident.
Well, coincidence.
I know they say
it's God
incident.
It's a God incident. It's God's way of remaining anonymous. Oh, that is so cool. And so, Mike, what do you think about all this so far?
Well, I'm not getting very good reception, so I can't hear half of what you're saying.
Oh my goodness! Oh yeah, you did.
And my internet's down, and it's.
How do you know that that's not a blessing?
Wow.
But you know about.
So, he's been having difficulties. And so we got Doc here. Doc, what do you think about what you've been hearing, Greg, and so far, Doc?
Ah, time to rock the Doc. Greg, you are spot on. Look, there is an agenda. It's been going on for a while. It goes back 65, 70 years now. Okay, this stuff didn't happen overnight. And the gates of hell will never prevail against the church because there's people like us that just ain't going to let it happen. You got to be stubborn. We have the deposit of faith. We have it. I was talking to a friend of mine. I was showing him the difference between the Dewey Range Bible and the King James. And I even showed him in the gospel where they had changed the gospel. It's the gospel written by St. Jerome. How dare you change it? Who are you? You know, I mean, it's crazy. And they changed the church. I've heard bishops say the church needs to be fluid and change with men. God doesn't change. We need to stand firm. We hold true our traditions. They've been handed down for a reason. So, yeah, I'm with you, Greg. I'm not going to tolerate it. not one. I am that immovable object. When you talk about irresistible force and immovable object, that's me. I'm going to stand my ground. You know, I'm not going to comply. I'm not going to play along. These prelates need to understand they are our shepherds. They are our sheep, and they are going to be held accountable for the evils that they're portraying on God's flock. Was that about that millstone? Think about that. You know, and if you got a prelate, priest, whoever who's speaking schismatic stuff, you need to call them on it. You don't give them an inch. Don't back down. Hold your ground. Open a book. Read the Bible straight out of the book. Show them what the saints have said. Show them the miracles. Don't back down an inch, because as soon as you do, they got you. They eat you, and they'll use tactics against you, try to cancel you, whatever like that, but you can't. You can't stop this light. This light's not under any bushel.
Doc,
I love it.
Doc, I was sharing with you just what you were just basically. You go to Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, 7, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and for you.
You're joking, Don.
And that's what you were basically saying.
We got half of that. That was all broken up.
Yeah.
Or maybe I did. I don't know.
That's Hebrews chapter 13, 7. And remember your leaders, those who spoke, consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever.
Yeah.
Can you hear me a little bit better there?
I hear you now.
Okay,
when you were reading, it was really hard to communicate your sense.
Well, Don,
yeah,
you have to be the one to start reading tonight. And
okay.
I'll try to get in there before you get done and help out if needed, but you need to go ahead and start your miracle.
Okay, and this is powerful. All right. Well, tonight's miracle, the Eucharistic miracle of Alboraya, Spain, 1348. And this is important. Mary, our mother, whose day is, we are honoring the holy name of Mary today. That is our stand in the gap today that we focused on. And so she is our mother. In 1348, a priest, on his way to visit some sick people in order to bring them communion, slipped in the waters of a small river that he was crossing and overturned the Siberium, which contained some consecrated hosts. The poor priest, who had now resigned himself to the loss, heard himself being called by some fisherman a short distance away, asking him to come closer to the shore in order to see several fish with Eucharist consecrated hosts in their mouths.
Wow.
The hosts were immediately recovered. Yeah, the hosts were immediately recovered and brought back to the church in a solemn procession in which the whole village participated. And so in 1348, in the town of Alboraya, that was in Spain, this Eucharistic miracle occurred. What seemed to recall, episodes of the life of Saint Francis that demonstrates how, if men were to fully live in the grace of God, all God's creatures would live in harmony. A priest carrying a ciborium containing the Eucharist, destined for some sick people, was crossing a river on a mule. He was on a mule. And this, he got swamped by this water coming down this creek. You know how the water just rushes right on through?
Mm-hmm.
And this mule was knocked over to the side when he was suddenly swept off his mount. Kind of like St. Paul, kind of knocked off his high horse, right? From this rushing wave. And the priest tumbled into the water along with his Siberium, which was emptied of its precious content. The hosts fell out and were being carried away by the current toward the mouth of the river nearby. And so the priest, barely saving himself, full of remorse and lamented what had occurred, as he tried to free himself from the mud and the waters, was approaching by some fishermen who were stunned to have witnessed in the place where the river flowed, water flowed into the sea, three fish, each with a white host consecrated. These were consecrated hosts, were in the mouths of these fish. And so the priest immediately ran to the church and returned to the river bank with another Siberium. And he did everything in such a hurry that he didn't even stop to ask himself if the fisherman's story was believable. He just took off instinct. And great was his joy when he saw that the three remarkable fish were there with their heads protruding out of the water, lifting the host intact with their mouths like little trophies. Wow. He fell into his knees.
Hey.
I hear... Hold on a second. I'll be bringing everybody back on here because I hear this back. But I mean, if he's witnessed something like this, when you go to your knees as well, well, I'll be getting Greg and Doc and Mike, if you can hear, their response to that. And so we share these Eucharistic miracles every week. And so they're just so powerful. And St. Augustine, he recognized that this bread, what hung on the cross, and is this in this chalice that flowed from his side, whatever was in many and varied ways announced beforehand in the sacrifices of the Old Testament pertains to this one sacrifice, which is revealed in the New Testament. And so we have the saints. We have the Catholic Church. We have these testimonies. St. Ignatius of Antioch, he said, I hunger for the bread of God, the flesh of Jesus Christ. I long to drink of his blood, the gift of unending love. St. Ignatius of Antioch. Wow. And that is, you know, we share this as a, we break bread at Mass, the bread of angels. And Doc, what do you think of this so far, about this miracle?
I think that's exactly what I was saying earlier. We are called to emulate saints. We are called to do what they did, think the way they think. We need to read the Bible they read, and we need to go to the Masses they went to, the Latin Mass. That's where you find us. That was beautiful. You know, you don't hear people talk about the Eucharist that way anymore. To them, it's no big, it's just, you know, it's a routine, everything like that. And here you got the fishes bringing it up, keeping it out of the water, keeping it dry. You know, I mean, it just boggles my mind, the disrespect and the lack of humility and the lack of just, well, I guess that's it. You know, of respect to you, to the church, to the sacraments. And a lot of that goes back to what Gregory was saying. We have a lot of bad prelates that are preaching schismatic things about, you know, you can mutilate your body all you want, and all you are is a mutilated whatever you started out with. You know, you cannot... I heard a story where a guy's going to get a uterus implanted in him just so he could have a baby and have it aborted. I got news for you. It'll never go to term because you don't have all the rest of the equipment, you know, so it doesn't matter. You can mutilate, a man can mutilate his body all he wants, and all you're going to have at the end is a mutilated man. Same thing with a woman. You cannot, God doesn't make mistakes. And all because these prelates, these evil prelates with their agenda get in there and say it's so, that doesn't make it so. You cannot erase away 5,000 years of biology. It doesn't work, you know? When we start getting good prelates and good priests that are strong and have righteous masculinity and they will rise against the storm, we need to back them. We need to stand firm with them. But the ones that are teaching schism, we need to oust them straight up.
We definitely need to pray. We need to pray.
And we do need to pray. But we need to do more than pray. We need to speak.
Yes.
We need to speak up. You know, I talk to a lot of people. I was talking to somebody. He asked me, why do we venerate Mary? And I told him, I said, well, what's it say in your Bible? And he opened it up, Gabriel's message to Bible, and it said, Hail, Favored One. I said, that's why you don't understand it. A lot of people in the Bible are favored. This one's favored. That one's favored. And I opened up the Deuterons, and it said, Hail, Mary, full of grace. That is the only time in the history of humanity where a celestial being addressed a human that way. And she had to be full of grace. She had to be without original sin, immaculate conception, because that's the only way Christ could come into the world, through an unstained vessel. And that's why we venerate Mary. And it opened his eyes. He never heard this. He never even thought of that. You know? So we do need to go back to what the always, we need to go back to what we had, what was stolen from us. We need to reclaim it.
Well, Greg, you there?
Amen.
Greg, are you with us?
I'm with you. I've been listening.
Yeah. I get all fired up.
Awesome. Doc, that's awesome.
Thank you.
And we didn't start with the original way I started this tonight. I'm going to do that now because of what we've been talking about in prayer. Mary, Mother of my Lord, my Mother, please love your Son through me. Jesus, my God and my Savior, please love your Mother through me. May the Holy Spirit give me the strength to deny myself daily and give myself unreservedly to Jesus through Mary. All creation honors the Creator. Please share with those you love and those put into your path. That's what we're crying out to each of you tonight. And ask, the Lord wants this for you, and so does Mary. Ask Mary to love Jesus through you, and ask Jesus to love Mary through you. And see how that perfect love that they give us can be shared with other people by emulating what Jesus and Mary show us.
Amen.
So, we're not going to change any things in our flesh. We're going to have to stay true to what the deposit of faith in our Scripture is, given to us in Scripture and through the Magisterium. We're going to have to stay true to that, as there's those that want to make it look ugly.
Right. Well, I got a suggestion I got a suggestion for all the people out there in Radio Land. There's a group of books. It's written. It's called The Early Church Fathers. Not everything could fit in the Bible. Not everything. But that does not make what these people wrote any, you know, it may not have been inspired by God, but these are still the people that lived back then. And a lot of these documents have survived. And it gives you an insight of the day-to-day. I mean, these are the people that, you know, when the apostles went and built a church, they built that. It says in the Acts of the Apostles, they went out and they built these churches, and they built these churches. Well, these are the people that were in these churches, and these are the writings of these priests and nuns and bishops and so forth. And it'll give you a fuller understanding of what our faith has. Our faith is so, I mean, it's just, you can't put it in words. It's truly boggles the mind. You know, I'm just one little speck compared to the whole grandeur of it. And that's a way to kind of get some of that, you know, to recapture that. And you can find it online. I think Tam Books has it. It's a volume of books. I got one online. I have it on my phone. And I think I have it on a computer somewhere. And you can look up a topic like the Eucharist, and you can see what people that were back then, shortly after Christ's resurrection, what they were writing about the Eucharist, how it, you know, and stuff like that. It's really beautiful. Some of the stuff they wrote is truly amazing. That would make a good show.
Greg, are you there?
Early Church Fathers? That would make a good show. What do you guys think?
We can go forward and do a couple more Eucharistic quotes of St.
Okay.
Francis of Assisi's. When you have received him, stir up your heart to do him homage. Speak to him about your spiritual life, gazing upon him in your soul where he is present for your happiness. Welcome him as warmly as possible and behave outwardly in such a way that your actions may give proof to all of his presence. That's one of the things we're missing in a lot of the churches today. Not only in how people live to receive the Eucharist, but did you hear what he says? We should have happiness and welcome him as warmly as possible and behave outwardly in such a way that your actions may give proof to all of his presence. You know.
You'll judge by the fruit of your labor. Right there.
I'm here.
Oh, I hear you there.
Oh, yeah. I thought the phone died. It sounded like you were saying, you know, you take in the Eucharist and you live your life that way, and people see that. You will be judged by the fruits of your labor. And you can't take the Eucharist in, truly take it in, and truly, if you take it in and truly believe what you're doing, you can't live a simple life. I don't believe that's physical possible. Now, if you don't believe and you have no supernatural faith or supernatural faith in you, then, yeah, you can do pretty much any of it. But truly, I mean, if you do like you said, take it happily into your life, I mean, the fruits of that are going to be beautiful. They're going to be overwhelming, exceedingly bountiful.
Don, why don't you read that at the feet of Christ in the Eucharist from the writings of St. Faustina.
Okay, let me I'm jumping right back over there. I've been promoting this show going all over the world, and that is so awesome. Okay. Oh, Jesus, divine prisoner of love, when I consider your love and how you emptied yourself for me, my senses deaden. You hide your inconceivable majesty and lower yourself to miserable me, O King of glory. Though you hide your beauty, yet the eye of my soul rends the veil. I see the angelic choirs giving you honor without cease, and all the heavenly powers praising you without cease. And without a cease, they are saying, holy, holy, holy. Oh, who will comprehend your love and your unfathomable mercy toward us, prisoner of love? I love up my poor heart. I lift up my poor heart, my heart, in this tabernacle, which is what may adore you without cease, night and day. I know of no obstacle in this adoration, and even though I be physically distant, my heart is always with you. Nothing can put a stop to my love for you. No obstacles exist for me. Holy Trinity, one and indivisible God, you be blessed for this great gift and testament of mercy. Amen. I adore you, Lord and Creator, hidden in the most blessed sacrament. I adore you for all the work of your hands that reveal to me so much wisdom, goodness, and mercy. O Lord, you have spread so much beauty over the earth that tells me about your beauty, even though these beautiful things are but a faint reflection of you. Incomprehensible beauty. Although you have hid yourself and concealed yourself, your beauty, my eye, enlightened by faith, reaches you, and my soul recognizes its creator, its highest good, and my heart is completely immersed in prayer of adoration. Wow. This is really good. This is,
that's great.
You know who's my Lord and Creator. Your goodness encourages me to converse with you. Your mercy abolishes the chasm which separates the Creator from his creatures. To converse with you, O Lord, is the delight of my heart. In you I find everything that my heart could desire. Here your light illuminates my mind, enable it to know you more and more deeply. Here streams of grace flow down upon my heart. Here my soul draws eternal life. O my Lord and Creator, you alone, beyond all these gifts, give your own self to me and unites yourself intimately with your miserable creatures I am.
Excuse me.
O Christ, let my greatest delight be to see you loved and your praise and glory proclaimed, especially the honor of your mercy. O Christ, let me glorify your goodness and mercy to the last moment of my life, with every drop of my blood and every beat of my heart. Would that I be transformed into a hymn of adoration of you. When I find myself on my deathbed, may the last beat of my heart be a loving hymn glorifying your unfathomable mercy. Amen.
Amen.
Do grant, O God, O my God, that when my lips approach yours to kiss you, I may test the gall that was given to you when my shoulders lean against yours. Make me kneel, feel your scourging, when my flesh is united with yours in the Holy Eucharist. Make me feel your passion when my head comes near yours. Make me feel your thorns when my heart is close to yours. Make me feel your spear. Wow.
Just don't talk like that anymore.
Well, we do hear it deeper.
Nobody talks like that anymore. And I really wish the prelates would. I truly believe that the shepherd showed that much and vocalized that much about the Eucharist, about the sacraments, about the true sacraments and what they mean and why we get them, we'd have less people falling away. I don't do a lot of Catholics that have no idea anything about their faith. They go to Mass on Sunday, they eat the cracker, and then they go home and turn on the football game. And that they actually told me that. Church aerobic, kneel stand. They have no idea what they're actually doing or why they're doing it. You know, and it frightens me because their children grow up, and because their parents have this lackadaisical attitude to it, what happens when the children's age of consent, they're gone. You know? But if we have prelates that are committed and pious, and they speak it, they just like what you just read, Don, I'm sitting here in awe of it. I'm like, holy mackerel, nobody talks like that anymore. If they did, then the parents would show more reverence. The kids would emulate their parents. And Bob's your uncle. We have parishioners that start in the church and end in the church. You know? It's a call to arms, gentlemen.
Mike, are you there? Can you, Mike, have you been able to hear any of this?
Very little of it.
Oh, man.
Well,
yeah, my internet's down. I'm lucky I got a phone patch.
And Greg, have you been able to hear this?
Yeah, I can hear you all. I've been listening to you and Doc, and it's been
my
nice rant. Enjoying it.
I'm sorry about that, guys.
Well, it's something we can talk to that was a strong blessing. We just had our fifth Eucharistic Congress this past Saturday. I was going to talk a little bit about it last night, but I think I'll bring it up tonight. Probably the best.
That's a good idea.
I've seen. And just hundreds
that's
of
a
adults
good idea. And children too, right?
Do what?
And children too, right?
I can't hardly hear you, Don. Something's wrong with your phone. Been kind of garbled all night.
Really?
Yeah.
But children too. You've had children there too.
Yeah, we had about 140 children signed up, and probably more than that that showed up. Had probably 350, 400 people signed up for the Eucharistic Congress, adults. And it was just very well done by the presentation. And the bishop came and was in adoration for an hour with people, setting an adoration with the people, and was there before and after that, and did the benediction before that ended. But it was just great to see your bishop and priests openly be a part of something like that. And I was just inundated every time they took a break. Tons of people came over to the relics and had an opportunity to talk to people of all ages. And this was one of those things where it was a good opportunity for many people to that either got it or desired to get it, my Lord and my God, and came to that event to increase their faith in their walk to eternity. Let's see. Is this on?
Yeah, we're on. We're on.
I mean, there's so much quiet time, I don't hear anybody talking.
Well, I'm trying to promote this show, and I have a lady from another country asking me about, because she said that she had been thinking, even doubting if God even existed. And I've been sharing her this Eucharistic miracle, and she's in wonder. And so she just keeps asking me these. So keep going. Greg, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Did you say something to me?
Yeah. Are you didn't hear me at all?
I just heard you say a glimpse of we're talking to a lady from another country.
Was emailing me or asking me while we're doing the show here.
Oh,
and
okay.
So
well, it is a lot better when we have everybody's at a computer and able to read what we put together and able to share it with those that call in or listen in. It is a real blessing. And I was just mentioning that on Saturday we had, I got up to go to church and it was 14 and a half hours getting back. Had to get back before dark, but just the reception of the people of all ages, really hungry, I believe more than I've ever seen them, Donald, where people know something's wrong going on in our country and world and church, and they're searching for the truth. They want to stay true to the deposit of faith. And, there's a lot of evil going against that happening, and some of that evil's even happening within the Catholic Church now. And sadly, that's sad to even have to verbalize it. It's real,
Yeah.
But we also had a room across from where I had the relics. There was a group, we call them Best Friends Forever, BFFers. They have made tens of thousands of homes look Catholic again, with the pictures and the framed pictures that they do. And it's just been a beautiful apostolate that connected with the Marian Association on the very first day. In fact, you were at the very first Marian conference, Don.
Yes,
I was. Springfield. And that's when the picture ladies, that's when they connected to the Marian Association and have been with us.
I remember.
Through many, many, many things. And like I say, gotten out thousands and thousands of pictures, Catholic pictures in Catholic homes. And they had just a plethora of those people to pick from in the room across the hall from where I was, where they had that conference. It's awesome to watch how beautiful it is when people try to do everything they can to glorify the good Lord and His Mother, for sure.
Wow. Well, that's, you know, there's been, I mean, how many of these conferences have there been? Like 26 now, something like that?
As far as Marian conferences, we have 27 locations. We have five Eucharistic congresses, probably about 35 parish missions, and 45 schools that we've been to. It's not counting either the fact that we had several outings for the good Lord ahead of all that, you know, when America Sleep No More was in the battle. And hopefully trying to wake up Christians, you know, before it's too late. And impacted, I would say, tens and tens of thousands for sure.
That's amazing. And the many young children that you have shared these relics at Catholic schools, that to me is amazing. And it's
for sure.
It's such a blessing.
Amen.
And our Lord is so happy about all that. Because anytime that we can reach a young person, a child, when we can touch a child as with these relics and the rosary, that can be life-saving, you know, life-saving.
Amen.
And these shows here, too, with all the many that are following us, the saints of the day, when we pray for priests, pray for children, pray for those who have recently passed, and pray for those in prison, pray for those in hospitals. We pray. We pray for many things. And we're thankful. We're, you know, stand in the gap. That's what we do here. Stand in the gap. And so we pray for everybody out there. We pray for those who are held bound by addictions and we pray for deliverance. And we pray for our bishops and priests. And we do. The importance. We pray for Holy Church. Yeah, Greg.
And while we're at it, probably some of the top ones standing in the gap are with Joanne Bell and the group in the rescue movement that have been attacked and are being at trial that could spend over a decade in prison for trying to save lives. Those are true leaders that put themselves on the line.
You know, we definitely pray for the pro-life.
Getting past rhetoric. There's a lot. It's not just rhetoric when you say the rosary, that's for sure. But then there are people that take it to the next step and, you know, see their little brothers and sisters being killed and are willing to go in and help make that a problem for that child to be killed. And so the left hates them with a passion, and they got some a law made face, I guess, where they if you go into a clinic, you're susceptible to being arrested and put in long jail terms, you know. Well, Joanne Bell, she has been arrested over 200 times. You know, standing in the gap.
Wow. Yeah.
Gives new meaning to standing in the gap, doesn't it?
It sure does. That's putting it all on the line, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we better wrap her for tonight and put something together good for next week like you always do, Donald.
Oh, this is wonderful. Yes, yes. And this has been good. And so, Doc, do you have any last thoughts?
This is what you were saying about these people who step up. And that's what I've been talking about all along. We need people like that. I salute them. I pray for them that God will give them the courage and the strength and the protection that they need. And they are the example for the rest of us. They are the ones that we need to emulate. It's like sports heroes. I personally never really followed a sports hero. I mean, because I always thought they got paid too much for what they did. And now there are a bunch of young. I mean, there are some good ones, but a lot of them, they're just overpaid thugs. There are hundreds of people who got just as much talent, went to college, never got the sneaker deal. You know. But and then you got these people that you were talking about, Greg, that actually step up and are heroes, and they fight the good fight. Those are the people we need to emulate. Those are the people we need to admire. And those are the people that we need to show to our children and our friends and our children's children. So,
amen.
Anyway, that's it.
Outstanding. Well, we'll go ahead and we'll be closing with this.
Non mi pace felice triventi, Pater noster quias in celis, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra, panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debite nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos da malo, amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu Maria, benedicta benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Gloria Patri Filio, Spiritui Sancto, sicut in erat et in principio, et nunc et semper, saecula, saeculorum. Amen. Nomine Patri Filio, Spiritui Sancti. Amen.
Amen.
Our family is made up of every race. We are young and old, rich and poor, men and women, sinners and saints. Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We establish orphanages and help the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing relief and comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other scholarly or religious institution. We developed the scientific method and laws of evidence. We founded the college system. We defend the dignity of all human life and uphold marriage and family. Cities were named after our revered saints who navigated a sacred path before us. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have consistently guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church. With over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith, for centuries we have prayed for you and our world, every hour of every day, whenever we celebrate the Mass. Jesus himself laid the foundation for our faith when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." For over 2,000 years, we've had an unbroken line of shepherds, guiding the Catholic Church with love and truth in a confused and hurting world. And in this world filled with chaos, hardship, and pain, it's comforting to know that some things remain consistent, true, and strong, our Catholic faith, and the eternal love that God has for all creation. If you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Ours is one family, united in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are Catholic. Welcome home.